Welcome to the Nerd Out and Workout Podcast.
All right, what's up, everyone? It's Coach Austin here, coming to you with Hyper Strength and Conditioning with your Nerd Out Workout Podcast, where we nerd out, workout, and podcast. And today, we are joined by the one and only Ranbir. But what's your last name?
I don't need a last name, but Sangari.
Sangari. He's the owner of San Jose Barbell. You can take it off from there, man. Well, a further introduction from yourself.
That's quite an introduction already, but it's I'm glad to finally be here. I know this isn't the charcuterie podcast, which
we still need to do.
I want people to know that we were on the charcuterie before charcuterie was even charcuterie, right? My name is Ranbir. I own San Jose Barbell. And I've been a strength and conditioning coach for the last 10 years and been pursuing or being in the world of strength and conditioning for the last like 12, 15 years-ish. I like to be strong and I like to help other people be strong.
I love it. See, that's like the goal for any type of coach.
Simplicity.
That's good. And simplicity is why we're here. So one of the reasons why I wanted to have Ranbir on our episode today is to share his knowledge, because he does a great job of helping his clients and anyone that he talks to about their journey in strength and conditioning and fitness of how to easily start change. And in this case, changing the body, changing the mind, all that fun stuff. And I wanted to bring him on here and ask him the top three things that he has coached and helped and find that has helped a lot of people make that change easily. So that's what I wanted to kind of get on that.
Yeah. I'll start by saying, you know, the way you think about things and how you respond to things is very important. So like, you know, we like to look at everything in pyramids. You know, we have a pyramid for nutrition, we have a pyramid for training, we have a pyramid for all kinds of things. But I think the foundation of the pyramid, and the reason the pyramid is important, is because it's not the thing at the top that's important, it's the base, right? So Louis Simmons, for all the strength nerds out there who, you know, is the legendary coach from Westside, I remember there was a quote that, or there was something he would always talk about, is like, how big can you make the peak of a pyramid as big as the base is? So if you don't have a very big base, your pyramid is going to be tiny, right? Like, it has to have a big base. And so when people start to like say, okay, well, I want to get in shape and I want to get strong and look good, et cetera, they go straight to tactics and like methods or like workouts and diets. Mm. You have to go. And when you try to do that, that's at the very tippy top. So your pyramid's not going to be very big. So you're not going to get very impressive results or long lasting. So for me, what I've learned is how you think about something is important. And so the first principle that kind of emerged out of our journey has been equanimity, which is basically just a fancy way of saying like having space before you respond to something. So you don't just like, you know, what's a typical thing that happens when somebody starts to try to lose weight? You pick one.
Typical thing they start doing, they try to eat less or they try to run more.
Yeah, so
constantly.
Yeah, so what if I'm trying to eat less, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to eat at all. And, you know, grandma made a bunch of phenomenal chocolate chip cookies, or in my case, you know, some aloo paratha, which is, that's a completely different podcast, but one of the best foods on the planet. It's potato filled, potatoes, spices, stuffed like bread, tortilla almost. So you're trying to eat less and grandma made this wonderful food. Now you're screwed. And so usually you go into this like dialogue in your head about, oh, I shouldn't do it, or man, like all of this stuff that makes you feel pretty shitty, right? Equanimity is basically like not reacting right away or responding or choosing a response rather than just default. You're in the emotions, or you eat something and you're like, ah, oh, man, I fucked it up, or I ruined it. Right. So having, and that's the base of the pyramid for me, is first kind of start to see how you think about things. Do you just like emotionally respond and react? You know, somebody cuts you off in traffic, boss doesn't, no matter what, we always have a choice of having a little bit of space. And this is a skill that takes effort to develop, or just, you know, attention to it. But you begin to notice that life becomes better and better and easier if you just have that space, because it allows you to take out all of the unhelpful emotions, the guilt, the shame, all of that stuff. So the first key really is like understanding that. And one of the things that I really, really like try to remind myself every day is, why do you even want it? Like, why do you want to lose fat? Why do you want to be strong? Why do you want to look good? You think logically, if you think about it, you want that, or you want to do that because you think you'll feel good when you get there or when you do it. So if the stuff that you're doing to get you there is miserable, it's not going to work. Like if we were going, you know, if you're going on a trip to a party with your significant other, maybe you've experienced this, and you get into an argument, right, on the way there, and maybe it gets a little bit heated and passionate. Some words are thrown around. You don't show up at the party and automatically have a good time, right? Like you're just like in a shitty mood, and you try very hard to cover it up, or, you know, not look like it. And it's hard to like have a good time when you just spent this, you know, 2-hour drive or however long in an argument. So the message with that is like, there's no happy ending to an unhappy journey.
Ooh.
So with everything. So like with training and nutrition and not fixing your body, but like getting your body to where you want it to be, there's no happy ending to a unhappy and miserable journey. So starving yourself, running for hours or whatever you're doing, if you're miserable while you're doing it, that's what you will get. Like the feelings you experience while you're doing it are the feelings you'll experience if you get the results, you know, if you can stick with it long enough. So that's really the first part, is like, how am I thinking about this? And knowing that I have to feel good about what I'm doing and how I'm doing it.
A beautiful point. I don't think people understand that. People are like, I need to suck. I need to embrace the suck, which I do embrace the suck, but I feel good about it. It's like a weird thing. But with other people, they feel like they need to just suffer and torture themselves to like look a certain way or feel a certain way. But when they get there, it's not enough. It's like, this is not what I thought. This is not feeling what I thought I was going to feel when I got to this point.
Yeah.
Because
most people never even get to the goal because it's so miserable along the way that, you know, let's say you're 2 weeks into your miserable routine and then, you know, you got a party and, you know, you had a tough day at work. You're not tracking your calories. You're just eating and drinking whatever you could get your hands on because it'll make you feel better in the meantime. Right?
Eating your feelings.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why the equanimity is so so important. But you make a really good point. Like, there is work that needs to be done. Cause let me tell you, like, working up to, you know, I've deadlifted 500 and, you know, no warm up. Like, I can do things physically that are, you know, that take work. But like you said, there's something that you feel good about doing that work. So there's something that's different in your thinking, because if there was a time when I was younger and I was thinking about working out, or I tried to work out, I hated it. Like, I literally hated going and trying to lift because, number one, I sucked. Number two, I didn't know what I was doing, so everything hurt. But I'm doing this, like, the same things now. I enjoy it, right? So it is something to be said about, it's not necessarily the thing in question. It's how do I feel about, like, who am I, like, what am I being or feeling about that thing, you know?
Yeah, it comes from inside, like the mental of it.
Yeah,
I totally agree with that. No, that's really, that's a really great point. That's a really great point. And I feel like it's like kind of sitting in it, like sitting in your, sitting on something before you react to it, right? Like, actually trying to take everything in and processing it. I don't think a lot of people give themselves, and for me, I've been guilty of that, impulse acting out of emotion and stuff like that. And it does help when you actually just sit and really try to figure out, like, well, okay, what am I really trying to do? Why am I trying to do this? Why am I here? All that thing, all that stuff. So that's a really good point.
Yeah. I it almost is like, you know, people get too caught up in stupid shit. Like, I will say our approach to the body is way more spiritual than anything, but that doesn't mean, like, I think we have a hard time, or most people, we have a hard time holding two ideas that seemingly are contradictory. Like, oh, if you think about you holding them in your mind at the same time, like, if you think about training or the body in a spiritual sense, then you must not be about science. Like, you know, like, it's one or the other.
Yeah.
Well, having,
how dare you believe in two things?
You know, and so, and I think I would fall in that camp before, but, you know, everything we do is based in science. Like, if we wanted to talk about science, like, you know, we're friends with the legitimate, like, the actual scientists in the field who are doing shit and, like, putting the papers together and, you know, doing the research. Like, we know these people and we draw heavily from their work, and, you know, God bless them for doing that work. Cause I'm not going to sit there and run on, you know, and monitor every variable.
Yeah.
We take their information and we put it in, but we understand, like, the reason for doing anything is you think you're going to feel good. And so that part is first and foremost, you know, has to come first. Yeah. I mean, I did hella shit back in the day that was miserable. And then, yeah, I got some results too. I also got a lot of injuries. I also got really, really, really shredded. And it was just like, I don't remember being a very happy person.
When you were shredded?
But I was shredded.
Yeah.
And that was my lifelong dream, dude. Like, do you know what? I don't know. Have I ever told you, like, why I started to work out or I wanted to work out?
No, I don't think you did in detail.
Long story short, I'll keep it short. I was a skinny Indian kid. And what are Indian kids? You know, like, you don't think of little Indian kids as being athletes or jacked or anything, right? And so I was always, for some reason, really afraid. So I tried to compensate by being good at basketball, by being really good at school. I was just afraid of everybody because I was the weakest. I was 100% the weakest kid. I was the skinniest kid. I was the weakest kid. And it's not like people were going around, like, beating me up. But in my own head, I was so fucking, you know, self-conscious about this, and I wanted girls to like me, and I was like, how are girls gonna like this, you know? And so it was this desperate desire to, like, look, be like my idols. Sylvester Stallone, Bruce Lee, Arnold. Like, I was like, that's, I don't know what it was, but that's what called to me. And I was like, I want to be like these guys. They're strong, their strength, right? Not just physical strength. Like, if you hear Bruce Lee talk, you can feel the strength. If you hear Arnold or Sylvester or any of these guys talk, like, you feel the confidence and the strength. So that's what I wanted. And even as I achieved that early on doing miserable methods, it was like something missing. There's something missing, you know? So that's the first piece.
Very good. I feel like those guys actually played a really pivotal role in our generation, man. They kind of like willed in, like, inspiration and confidence. It's like, oh, I need that. So I gotta be like that.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm pretty sure about 99% of guys in that in the gym were chasing that. We're like, I need to get at that level. Like, that level's possible. I need to get there. We're somewhere close to it.
Yep, 100%. I always, you know, it's funny. Maybe you've ran into this recently, but there's guys now who are like, oh, yeah, I don't want to look like Arnold. I don't want to get too jacked. And I just have to laugh because.
Oh, dude, yeah.
And I'm like.
Why?
First of all, let's just take that at face value and say, okay, that's cool.
Right.
But. You're not going to look like that. Like,
I can give you all the volume, bro. I can give you all the tricks I know. You're not going to look like that, dude.
Like, you could look like a very good version of yourself, but you're not going to look like that. So don't, no worries there. Like, we're safe. But second of all, I'm like, what the fuck is going on where people don't want to be Jack? Like, what are we?
I think they're like the lean. I don't know, man. It's like nowadays people want that, like, the lean look, I guess. The surfer body, I guess. I don't know. I think that's what they want. I think that's what they want.
I think people, they I don't think they're thinking for themselves, because there's no reason not to. Oh, another great Louis Simmons quote I remember. He said, you can never be too rich, you can never be too good looking, and you can never be too strong. And I was like, it's a good point. So, like, why would you not want more? Like, that's, of course you would want more. Like, that's natural. Expansion is, like, natural, you know? So, I don't know. That's a little side note. I'm like, all the guys out there who are like, no, I don't want to get too jacked, like,
first of all, you ain't getting that jacked.
You should want to get jacked.
It's the mind. I think it's like, it's, I think more to the point of the mindset of, like, you should want to be better. Like, you should want to. Why are you putting a ceiling on how much you want to get better? Who's to say you're going to be that? Like, I don't know. Like, don't put a ceiling on yourself.
Like a hedge, right? Like a hedge. It's like a hedge. Like, you hedge your bets.
Yeah.
And kind of, like, protects yourself, which I get it. That makes – I'm sure I do that in different areas of my life. But, like, no, I don't want that. That doesn't sound right. That doesn't feel good to me as I say it. Of, like, I want to play it safe in business, or, you know, in my body or my relationship. Like, no, I want the fucking – I want all of it. I want everything, you know. Yeah. Whatever that is for me, you know, I want it. I want it all.
Let me go for it. Let me try. Let me try and see if I can get all of it. If I don't get all of it, then at least I tried.
Yeah, no, and you'll feel good because, you know, you find out that I used to think I needed to weigh 180, like, because that would be me. That would mean that I'm a man, that weight.
Oh, I know where you're getting at.
You know, because I'm 150 my whole life. And I was like, in order for me to be a man, this is all probably, like, in the back of my mind. I'm like, I was obsessed with being 180.
There's a lot of people who are like that. Yes, you're correct. In that mindset, like, I need to hit over 200. If I'm under 200, I'm not a man. Someone said that. It was like a quote. It's like, if you're under 200, you're not a man. It's like, what? Like, really?
Those guys are the ones that, like, perpetuate this kind of stuff. There, I've seen those kinds of things before too. Like, strength coaches will be like, or like, you know, fitness people will be like, if you're less than 200 pounds, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, dude, yeah.
Cause people will believe that, they'll eat it up. Like, oh, he's so right. And I'm like, bro, dude, like what?
People who are overweight trying to go in the other direction, they do the same thing. You know, they're like,
I need 110
pounds. I need to be X, Y, and Z.
I need to be under 200.
Yeah.
Or else I'm just a cow.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, that's not, come on.
Yeah. And so that's why, like, dude, the slogan, I don't know if it's a slogan, but like one of the principles of San Jose Barbell is at the end of the day, it's all about love. And I think people really have a deep misunderstanding of what love means. And they think it's like this, like soft, mushy gushy, like pushover, like, oh, we're all gonna be blah, blah, blah. Like love, real love is strength. Like, And it's not like something, oh, you just roll over for anybody, but love for yourself, like forgiveness is the strongest characteristic that you could have, right? So I think everything starts with that. Like you have to have compassion towards yourself and forgiveness towards yourself if you want to. Otherwise, you're like walking around with like 1,000 pounds on you, like chained like the ghost of Christmas past, like. You're not going to be able to achieve what you want to achieve because you're weighed down.
It's true. Self-love is something that's very hard to attain for a lot of people that I've found when I'm talking to them, consulting them, when they're asking advice. It's always they're very quick to invalidate themselves, to just tear themselves apart. And it's like, whoa, like, hold on. First of all, it's really not as bad as you're making it seem. Second of all, you are capable. You definitely can do things. You have to give yourself a chance. I always feel like that's from the coaching aspect. We have to allow them to be like, it's okay, like to love yourself, to like give yourself credit. Don't feel like, oh, I suck. Yeah. And it's really interesting because people will say it without thinking. Even when a compliment. And that's something I have to work on too. Like giving a compliment. Say, hey, dude, you did really good there. Oh, I don't know. They start giving like, well, it's so and so and so and so and so and so. Cause like, well, if I accept it, I feel that means I'm a cocky. It's like, no, you're not cocky. It's just, you're accepting your love. Like you're, I did do that. Like love yourself. I think accepting a compliment is very hard in nowadays than how it used to be.
Dude, I feel that I'm the same as you. I feel the same way. Like, and these are things, everything that I share or like talk about, nothing is stuff that I haven't been working on like really fucking hard, like for the last probably 15 years. Like all, even when I didn't know I was working on this, all of this stuff is stuff that I'm working on all the time. And so, you know, I that reminds me of like people would give me compliments and I didn't know how to fucking take a compliment. Cause I'm like, I would either downplay it or I didn't want people to think that I agreed with that. Like, it's just weird things. Right. And it's like, no, you like, yeah, take credit. Like you did that. Like, you know, I used to feel bad for sharing any accomplishment of myself. Like, you know, I mean, you know, I'm an actor, right. And I've been doing that for almost 11 years now. And for majority of that time, and I've been working, like I've done so many things.
Dude, your face is on some billboard in New York.
It's popping up somewhere, you know, it might not
be. Oh shit, that's Ranbir. At the Levi's game, I saw you. I was like, oh my God, it's Ranbir.
I'll pop up. But you know, for the longest time, I wouldn't tell people, like I had trouble saying I'm an actor. Like I wouldn't even say that to people for whatever reason. Or when people were like, oh dude, I saw this, I'll be like, oh cool, man. Like instead of, I just felt like weird about it. I don't know. But I think it goes,
I think as a culture and a society and like as a people, everyone's kind of understanding that self-worth and self-love is the key. But I think everybody's still figuring it out, because I think a lot of times it's misplaced, or the people don't truly understand it. But overall, I think the direction is good because eventually everybody figures it out, or, you know, as a society, or I think things move in the direction. So, you know, I'm trying to think of a good example, like the self-love thing about, you know, love yourself at any weight. Yeah, cool. 100%. But understand, like, then not taking care of your body is not love. Like, that's not love, you know? It's just you're distracting yourself by not addressing something. You're not addressing some kind of hurt or whatever it might be.
Isn't so, that interesting? Like, I got that. I it's like, so we talk about self-love, right? And I could tell, like, a listener would be like, well, then what about fat shaming? What about, you know, love your body? But as coaches and as professionals in the fitness industry, it's like, dude, you got to love yourself to the point where you got to give yourself tough love, where you got to look at yourself in the mirror and be like, bro, I need to do something. Like, and it's not even about vanity of like, I need to look better and all. No, like, check your blood levels, like heart disease, cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes. These are real things. And to turn a blind eye because it's like, well, I love myself, I don't need to worry about those things because that's just shaming me. It's like, no, dude. Like, you're not going to have enough life to love yourself if you keep going down this path. So what's, like, you have to understand that self-love is also tough love.
Well, that's what I was saying. Love is not a mushy-gushy, everything's all kumbaya.
Yeah.
Love is standing for stuff, right? Love is being truthful with yourself, even when you don't want, like, man, there's so many things that I don't want to admit to myself, and that if I just say, oh, I love myself no matter what, I'm not really loving myself. I have to look at those things. I have to shine the light on those areas if I really love myself, right? And even take it to a more practical level of, like, is it love if you can't spend time with your children because you're too heavy, because you didn't want to take a little bit of time to find out what's, you know, how do I stay leaner and how do I, you know, it doesn't have to consume your life, but I think it's worth it because it makes, you know, this is what I always think. I'm like, I can't wait to play with my kids and my grandkids. Like, oh man, it's going to be so much fucking fun. Like, I can't wait to be a grandpa, you know, like, it's going to be so dope. And all the things that we're going to do. But I need the vehicle to be able to do that, you know? And it's love. It's something that I think everybody can work on. And it doesn't help when everybody's like, so fucking, oh, well, you're wrong, Austin. Fuck you. You don't know. Like, that's not helpful. Like,
people like to be right, man. And it's weird. It's very, it's like, dude, like, people, especially now, people want to be right. People want to be right, wherever they're at. Wearing a mask could set off someone right now.
Dude.
And it's like, wow, dude.
All of these people, all of us, we all need more love. Like, that's, like, you don't, look, and we do this in our own different environments and interactions with people, where we would rather be right than feel good, you know? Oh, yeah. Like, I've been with my wife since I was 18. So we've gone through a lot. We've grown and learned a lot. And there was a long time where most of the problems from my end were because I would rather be right than feel good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, I'm like, when you get to the married club, you get it. It's like,
about being right. I care about feeling.
I don't need to be right. I just want to love right now. I just want to have a good time with you, dude.
It's super practical, but it's hard to do.
Yeah.
Well, and nutrition, right? You've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing this for a long time. How many times have people asked you or talked to you about nutrition, and then, you know, you have this urge to tell them what's right rather than be like, this person's not, like, I'm not gonna convince this person. So let me just, but, you know, we get ourselves into these heated moments, even just within your own head, because you want to be right and you want to show them that you're right, you know, or help them or whatever.
Yeah, it's hard. You got to. Yeah, when you deal with nutrition as a coach, you got to, like, you have, like, these strong beliefs in nutrition, especially when you look at the science and all that stuff. But then there's people who are, right? And then there's people who are stuck in their behaviors. So we have to understand that, okay, we got to check ourselves first real quick, because we could bestow and drop all the knowledge in the world, but if they're not open, it ain't going to happen. So to be able to massage and understand and create that line of communication so we can start feeding them good information where they can actually accept it, that's like the trick.
Yeah.
That's like the thing.
You know what? The thing that I try to, like, think about nowadays, actually, it doesn't happen to me very often anymore. I don't think it happens to anybody right now because everybody's in quarantine, but it's just more love. Like, if I have love if I have compassion towards this person who clearly, like, let's look at the scenario logically. Here I am, this guy, his name is Rambir. He is Indian. So, I mean, he wasn't genetically gifted. He was skinny fat. And now he's, you know, he's in really good shape. He's been in really good shape for a long time. He has experience. He has clients, etc. So this guy knows what he's doing. At least seemingly. Take the other person who's never gotten any kind of, you know, noticeable or sustainable results. And, like, why are we arguing? Like, what are we talking about? Right? Like, but so for me, I have to look at that person. I'm like, I need to have compassion and understand there's something that is going on with this. This person has gone through something. I don't know about it, whatever it is, that, you know, it's not my job to force the right answer on them. My job is to just be nice to them. If they end up becoming a client, then, you know, we can work on stuff and that'll be the right relationship to do that. But I'm not going to try to tell them how they're wrong if we're just, like, in a social setting and having fun. Like, let's have fun. Like, you know, I don't need to do that. And I used to do that. I used to be that guy.
See, that's the thing. Yeah, you have to be in it to understand it, to overcome it, and to address it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't think if you don't get it, you're still probably in it.
That's true, for sure.
Like, well, I don't understand these guys. It's like,
yeah, I mean, but, you know, people can apply this. Everybody's knowledgeable at something. And when they try to explain their knowledge area to somebody else who doesn't get it, they can relate. They know what we're talking about. It might not have anything to do with nutrition, but, you know, we're all knowledgeable about something, whether it's Pokemon or coding or sale. Like, everybody's being a mom, like, you're good at something, you know? But yeah, so I that was a very long, drawn out first part of, like,
hey, but that's the thing, that you're building that pyramid. It's like, yeah, right there, dude.
Number two and three are gonna be shorter.
But yeah, but that's the thing. That goes into the line with what you just said. You gotta build that. The bigger the foundation is, the bigger the pyramid can be.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. So the second thing is, once you set the right frame or operating system, or at least are aware of it, right? Because, you know, I've been aware of things and I haven't been able to do them for a very long time, but the awareness is the key. Awareness precedes change. Then now I can start to look at, okay, everything that I do, it has to be enjoyable so that I can stay consistent. I don't want to look at how much weight can I lose in the next 12 weeks. I want to look at because fat loss should be a phase, right? Because what we're really trying to get to is living life phase, not losing fat phase, right? So then the next part is, how can I get to that spot? So consistency is going to be the key. So in order to be consistent, I want to pick things that are enjoyable for me to do, or, you know, I can find a way to enjoy them. Because sometimes people didn't start off training with weights as what they thought was enjoyable. They just thought, like, this is going to work, so I'll do it. But you find enjoyment in the pursuit of getting stronger. So then it becomes something you enjoy. But it has to be something that you enjoy. Same thing applies for nutrition and for training. So that's really the second part, is like, you cannot pick things that are miserable. You can't. Work is different from being miserable. I don't know if I'm making that part clear. Maybe you can, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
work is different from being miserable.
Yeah.
When you're doing the work to enjoy the work. Is that what you're saying? Because, yeah, like, there is, like, one
example you gave of, like, running and not eating anything. So, like, a 1,000-calorie diet consisting of, I don't know, fucking lemon juice and, like,
oh god, yeah, the juicing, the
celery, I don't know. And
celery's a negative food, so you're like, you're spending more energy digesting that thing.
Yeah, so if it's miserable, like, those are miserable, you can't pick that. Let's say, oh, here, I'll give you an example. The burrito boy diet, okay?
Hey.
The little burrito boy who was born in 2016. But the high level idea of that is, you're eating multiple burritos a day, every day, and you're able to lose as much weight as you want. There's work involved in there, that you gotta learn some basic cooking skills. You gotta clean your plate. You gotta clean your dishes, right? You gotta cook it, and you gotta wrap the burrito. Like, there's some effort involved there. But overall, like, think about it. Like, you can eat. So this was my example back in, like, what I did. I was eating 5 to 6 burritos a day, and I lost 35 pounds. I got up to 185. I don't know if you ever seen that picture.
I think you showed it to me at one point. I think I saw it too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was 185, which is really heavy for me. And then I lost 35 pounds, and I ate about 5 burritos every day. So it was very enjoyable, because who doesn't like a burrito?
Let alone 5 a day.
Right?
That is great.
On top of that, since the burritos, the magic in the burritos was that they were super low calorie and very high in protein, and they tasted amazing. But I always had about 800 calories-ish left over every day to do whatever I wanted with.
See, that's beautiful.
Oreos, In-N-Out.
In-N-Out.
So the work was there, but it was so enjoyable. Way more. I would never do broccoli, celery, and, like, I don't even know what else. Running diet.
Yeah. Broccoli and chicken breasts.
Broccoli and chicken breasts. And, you know, even just chicken breasts. Chicken breast gets a bad name. It's not the chicken breast. It's your cooking. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got to take one day to learn how to cook a chicken breast. Yeah, you'll mess up, and you'll have, you know, you'll waste some money. But it will become so much more enjoyable because you know how to do it correctly. Yeah, so that's really the second part. It's like, you have to find out things that are going to be enjoyable, because then you'll be able to do them long enough to get the results.
Consistency, baby. That's where it's at.
I'll say this about this topic is, I know you have a lot of varied interests. Is there something that comes to mind, like, that maybe before, like, it wasn't very enjoyable to you, or maybe it was even tedious to you, or, like, but then you started to, like, give attention to it and, like, try to do it really well, and then all of a sudden the same boring, tedious task became enjoyable? and something you look forward to?
Oh yeah. I mean, the latest one is the running part. I mean, before quarantine, I didn't, you know, I was like, I'm a strength dude. I'm doing other stuff and, you know, I'll do the RFT stuff and all that, but you know, barbell training, weightlifting. But when it got to like this quarantine, I got time to focus on what I really wanted to just do for myself. I was like, oh, I'm just gonna give this a mile a day for 30 days. And the first 7 days was kind of like, oh, this is tedious. The eighth day, I remember I'm like, I want to go run. I want to go, you know, I want to actually focus on my cadence. And then from the day 8 through day 21, I was like, I love this.
Yeah.
Because it got to the point where I'm like, I don't have to kill myself during the mile. You know, like I need to run the mile. But now it's like, I was like kind of jogging it, understanding like the cadence, understanding tempo. And I was like, this is great. Like,
so you were researching and like learning about running and
yeah,
like aspects of it, right?
More so than before. Yes. And it got to the point now I'm like yesterday I ran 2 miles. It was good. And today I'm just going to try to jog out a mile. Like, it's not like before where I'm like, oh, I got to run. It's more like, no, I want to get out there and just start, you know.
So the second, so we have 3 E's at San Jose Barbell. The second E is enthusiasm. So when you take enthusiasm toward, and the enthusiasm is not what people think. Like, woo, like I'm bouncing off the walls, like I'm, you know, it's a motivational speech.
Yeah.
Enthusiasm is like intense interest. Like you weren't, when you were looking at, you know, I had that same experience with running, by the way. Like, I learned how to time your breathing and like your foot, your breathing with your steps. Mm. So like it decrease your impact on your joints, etc. So all of a sudden, the same thing that I hated, which was running, when I took an interest into learning about it, right, and I had enthusiasm towards it, it became fucking enjoyable. It's something that I wanted to do and something that I enjoyed because I learned more about it. So that's really a huge key when you're picking your items, right? So like everybody realizes that, yeah, cooking is probably important. If I want to get leaner, I can make my life easier by learning to cook, right? So here's my tips. Watch a few YouTube videos by Gordon Ramsay or whoever your favorite chef is. I really like this guy named Internet Shaquille. Go watch his videos. He's a really intriguing guy.
Wait. Is he a big dude that's like hella funny?
He's not a big dude.
Oh.
I think he's Mexican, but he does. If I had to guess, I would say he's like my size. But
I gotta look him up.
Videos. All right. And he makes it so, like, I love watching his videos. I don't even know what it is because he's funny, but he has a dry sense of humor. And he shows you the simple keys of cooking. Anyways, take a little bit of time, watch some videos. Go sign up for Masterclass. Like, that shit is so dope. For, like almost no money, you get to see Gordon Ramsay show you how to cook.
Oh, I heard of that.
Dude. Do that. Like, so anyways, take interest in the thing, a boring thing like cooking chicken breast. Take interest in it. Go on Amazon, buy a nice knife. It will cost you maybe $30 to buy a nice chef's knife. Buy a nice block to cut. Clean your kitchen so it looks nice and now like you're organized. The whole game changes. Like, you took interest in that thing and now it becomes enjoyable now. But if your kitchen's all messy and you're using shit tools and you don't
yeah,
you're going to treat it like run, like how we treated running before, you know?
Yeah.
So true. That's the second part. The third key, this is really the shortest part. It's like, then it's really just a matter of, now you can pick your, you know, your tactics, whatever tactics you want. Because it's built on the right foundation. For me, I hate meal prep. I don't like to cook. You know what? Looking at those pictures on Instagram, like people with their fridges and like, that gives me anxiety. I'm like, I don't want to fucking make 8 days worth of food. And
I
like,
know, man.
And guess what? Everybody shares those things on Instagram and social media. nobody's, you're not doing them. And your fridge doesn't look that clean. Your fridge has like ketchup that's been expired from like 2000. Like, clean out your fridge, okay?
It's like questionable food and then containers. It's like, bro, cut it out at least, like crop it.
Like, what are we looking at here? Like,
because people to post the pictures, they don't see it. They just see the, look at my meal prep. Yeah. But other people who look and pay attention to detail, they're like, that ketchup says 2005.
What is that brand even? Like, who, what is that? So like, I don't like that. So my tactic, I like to eat out. I like to, protein is important because that's like when it comes to like hitting your macros or your calories, like if you take care of protein, then everything else becomes easy. So for protein purposes, like I hit a big shake so I can knock a big portion of that. And then I always have some like dinner meat that I'll be making, either fish or chicken or whatever. So like tactics should be based on convenience and practicality of your day and your preferences. I had a client in Tennessee who had to drive across multiple states every week. Mm. And so we learned about nutrition and calories, and then we built a plan that involved all fast food because he's working all the time. And so it, like at this moment in his life, we didn't want to cook, which is fine. But if we were sitting there feeling guilty that we're not cooking and we're not being practical, then it's not going to work. You violate the second rule, right? So
the third thing is all just tactics.
Yeah, it's the little itty bitty piece at the top. Like now you could literally pick any tactic. I can go full keto and get as lean as I want. Why don't I do it? Because I think it's not very, like, I don't enjoy it. I think it's dumb. Plus I like having lots of energy, so carbohydrates is going to be,
I like feeling good.
And plus I don't have any if somebody has diabetes, in that case, okay, you can make an argument, there's benefits to shit. Like, I'm not going to say don't do keto, but to me, I'm like, I'm fucking, no, I like fucking eating Oreos every night, you know, Oreo thins, lemon, phenomenal.
Really? Have to try those out.
These are good. Four cookies for 140.
Oh yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that when a regular chocolate chip cookie is like 140 itself.
Yeah. Yeah. So then it's tactics. Now you pick. Like you're not limited to anything. You want to be full paleo? Go be full paleo. You want to be keto? Be keto. But you're gonna end up, if you set the stage right, you're gonna do something that's actually fun and easy, you know, which is what we always talk about. So like, take care of protein, track your calories, eat whatever you want, leave room for things you enjoy. For me, it's some type of dessert at night. Like, I gotta eat some dessert at night.
I'm on that same page. Coffee.
That's just how we roll. I think it's an Indian thing, but you know.
Sweet tooth, man. I'm on the same page on that. I gotta have something sweet at the end.
Yep. So yeah, man, that's kind of the thing. I guess it all can be just summed up like at the end of the day, be nice to yourself, and then just practice it, because we're in the habit of not being nice to ourselves. All the science in the world doesn't matter if you feel bad. All the ripped abs in the world don't matter if you feel bad. All the business success or money doesn't matter if you feel bad. At the same time, the holding up the two contradictory, seemingly contradictory ideas, you know, and also like the self-love idea plus getting in shape. The third E, so the three E's, is excellence. So we understand all this, and being nice to yourself is the real most important thing. But we always pursue excellence because that's, I feel that's the nature of the universe. Expansion and growth is the natural law. So I don't want to be an okay husband. I don't want to be an okay friend. I don't want to be a regular businessman. I don't want to be somebody who just got ripped once in their life and is decently strong. I want to be the fucking best that I can possibly be. I fuck up a lot. A lot. But if I'm, when I'm, as I become nicer and nicer to myself, the walk towards excellence, which never ends,
yeah,
gets more and more enjoyable and more things happen along the way. And I'm like, and I feel good the whole time, you know? And that's really it. That's the summary right there.
Well said. Well put together, Amber. Thank you so much. You have anything else to add before we end this great episode? Another great episode in the books.
Just thank you. I appreciate the time and then the opportunity to talk about these things. So
thank you so much, Rambeer, and thank you for joining us with the Nerd Out and Workout community on the Nerd Out and Workout podcast. Again, ladies and gents, this is the three things that will help fat loss and change be easy on you and your life. Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to like this podcast, review it, subscribe to it. It would help us a lot as a small business. Anything you want to share, Rambeer? Any links, anything you want to push, promote at the end?
If you like me or the ideas, Instagram rambeer.sangera. And then this is my final message to all the guys who say they don't want to get too big. Like, you need to get fucking jacked, okay? Don't you dare. Don't you dare, okay? You go out. You can still be an engineer and be jacked.
Yes. Thank you for that. All those social links will be available in the show notes, everyone. Ladies and gents, thank you guys for listening. This is Coach Austin with Hyper Strength and Conditioning with your Nerd Out and Workout podcast. And we will see you guys later. Okay, bye.